September 28th, 2005. Item number 91. Today's guest is Evo from the Dragon Page Podcast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into our interview with Evo from the Dragon Page Podcast, a quick news and note update, and that has to do with what I mentioned in the last podcast, and that is I went and saw Serenity last night, and the best description for that movie is wow. Joss nailed it. I mean, perfect 10. Definitely the best movie I've seen in the last 3 to 4 years, and I've seen a lot of movies. I'd like to thank Universal for getting me into the screening. Great job, guys, and organization there in Kansas City. You guys did a wonderful job. But let me just say, that movie was phenomenal. How phenomenal was it? Well, about an hour before the movie, I went and bought one of those big $4 Cokes. Okay, maybe they're only $1.50 worth of Coke, and it cost $4, but that's another story. Irregardless, about an hour before I got that, waiting in line, and which wound up, I didn't really have to wait in line because I had the press pass, but that's another story, so now we've got two tangents. Back to the story at hand, I drank that Coke, and about 15 minutes into the movie, Mother Nature started whispering in my ear. About a half an hour into the movie, Mother Nature is yelling in my ear. That movie was so good, I did not get up to go to the bathroom. I did, however, unbutton my pants to relieve the pressure, and the guy next to me, I am sure, thought something strange in the Pee Wee Herman type strange may have been going on, but no, it wasn't. When the movie was finally over and I got up, I was in pain. I mean, literal pain. I made it to the bathroom in time, so no accidents or anything. But the movie was so good, I was not willing to go to the bathroom, regardless of how loud Mother Nature was screaming in my ear. And when I woke up this morning, I was actually felt bruised down below, like someone had kicked me in the nether regions. So, my advice to anybody who's seeing this movie, empty thy bladder right before the movie starts. Do not buy any beverages. Enjoy the movie. I know I'm going back to see it a couple of times. Josh, well done. And to the people at Fox, you guys are a bunch of idiots for canceling that series. That's all I can say. Everyone, go see Serenity the movie. Definitely worth your time. Well, that's going to do it for us on the news and notes. We're going to go ahead now and get into the interview with Evo from the Dragon Page Podcasts. This interview is a longer interview. It's about 26 minutes compared to the normal 15 minutes. So today's show is just a little bit longer. Sorry about that. As I mentioned, Dragon Page Podcast Evo is involved with Slice of Sci-Fi, Winging It, and Cover to Cover, along with Patio Books. And just to let you know, we'll be skipping Saturday's podcast. So this one is going to suffice for Wednesday and Saturday. Our next podcast will be Monday, October 3rd. So we're going to go ahead and get into our interview now with Evo. Here we go. Evo, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, before we get to the first question, I was just looking back at my emails. You first contacted me on February 17th, and we finally get you on the show now. So it's been 7 months to get you on here.
I have been told that I am a rather busy boy.
Okay. First question. What was your first computer?
Well, I've been studying this question, trying to figure out what my first computer was. The first computer that I ever actually used was, like every other child of the 80s, was a TRS-80.
Okay. Which one?
The gray one with the black keyboard.
Okay. Was it one-piece or two-piece?
Pretty sure it was a one-piecer.
That was the Model 3.
All righty. So that's what I learned on. Played Voyage of the Valkyries was the video game, you know, a little character-based, just scrolling across the screen thing, and learned how to write basic programming on that, you know, 10, print, 20, go to 10. Oh, gee, looky what that does.
You had mentioned in the email to me back in February that Mike is the tech geek, and you're just the sci-fi geek, and Mike was the one that kind of brought up the idea on podcasting, but what was the first podcast you listened to?
The very first podcast I listened to was one of three. I went back inside of iPod RX to find out which one it was, but I discovered a few months ago that I was down to like a half a gig left on my hard drive. So, and it was all in the musics folder, and I don't have that much music in that folder. So I deleted a whole bunch of things. But from what I can recall, what I pulled out of that thing, there was one of two. It was either The Bitterest Pill or it was Evil Genius Chronicles.
We'll give Dan Klass the credit. At the bitter.
See, I hate giving Dan the credit because I'm his nemesis.
Yeah, I read that. How do you get a nemesis?
You know, it's one of those organic things that just kind of grows over time, and it just sort of develops that way, and you have to have a mask.
Now, whose book is going to hit the street first, yours or Dan's?
Oh, Dan's comes out first. Mine doesn't come out until November, I think, the 7th.
November 7th, and that's Podcasting for Dummies.
Yes, it is. We've turned in everything. Today was the big deadline day, and it's all in. They've got it. It goes to the proofreaders, and then it goes to press, and then hopefully before too terribly long, I actually have a copy sitting here. But yay, it's over.
What podcasts are you listening to now?
I went through today, and knowing I was having this interview with you, I went through and cleaned up iPodRx, made sure that I only had the podcasts that were current, that had, you know, feeds in the last, you know, week or so, and deleted everything else and counted them. There are 60 podcasts in my aggregator.
Oh, my God. So that sounds like mine. I'm the same way. I've got so many.
But not, yeah, out of those 60, four of them are my feeds. So, you know, we can discount those because, you know, you have to subscribe to your own thing if for no other reason than to make sure that it shows up right inside of the aggregators, right? Another five of them are a Podio book. So if we discount those, there are 51, not me, not something I'm specifically involved in, podcasts that I, sadly enough, I listen to all of them.
Ugh. Well, I know one that you listen to is a mutual friend of ours, and that's Derek at Skepticality.
Yes. Yes, I actually started communicating with Derek and Swoopy. I think they were on show number 2. I believe Derek sent me an email and said, hey, I dig what you're doing over there with Cover to Cover, your book-focused show. We're going to start doing author interviews on our show, too, Skepticality, because we like your format. And so I listened to it and had a good time. Listened to Swoopy's first Whimsicality and said, that's the show. That's the solid gold right there. I loved Whimsicality. But yeah, I've really enjoyed watching Skepticality grow into something that is an incredible show. You know, I wouldn't have thought I could listen to somebody talk about skeptical thought for an hour and 20 minutes, but I can't. They do very good conversations with folks, and of course we're all, you know, crossing fingers and pulling out rabbit's foots and all the other things and praying that he turns the corner soon. There are a couple of podcasts I think that don't get recognized enough that I'd kind of like to mention, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Brief Glimpses of Somewhere Else. It's a podcast put by a guy named Daniel Emery. He does a variety of things. He does a Japanese word of the day, a Chinese word of the day, and then some original fiction comes out. He does book reviews and just kind of comments on life. I really like what he's got to offer. It's kind of an all topic show, but he's got an interesting view. He does have brief glimpses of Somewhere Else coming out of him. I listened to The Croncast with Chris and Betsy.
Okay.
You know, I think everybody should listen to at least one husband and wife team as a podcaster, and I've listened to just about all of them. And the one that I'm centered on right now, Chris and Betsy. I don't know why, but probably because my wife thinks that they're a riot, and so we can listen to them together in the car, and she actually enjoys that. And, you know, like I say, everybody has to listen to a couple casts. There's just some of that magic that's there, and you'll find one that resonates with you, and you can stick with that thing. You know, I've recently just got into the music podcast. For the longest time, I was just listening to band tracks. Mm-hmm. That was that's probably the third or the fourth podcast I ever listened to. Hooked into that, got into it, and that had been my only one for the longest time. Then I discovered that I could listen to a podcast working as long as it was a music podcast. In other words, I can sit here and type and answer email and write my book and all those things. I can't listen to people talk, but I can listen to people sing. So since that time, I've stuck on Accident Hash, Coverville. I've been listening to Swoopy as Robin at the Project podcast. Okay. And there's a new one called Getting a Leg Up with Mark Forman that's really good.
I've heard that one. I haven't listen to that one yet, but I've heard a few people mention it, so I guess I'll have to check that one out.
I listened to the PDGA Radio News, which I'll bet no one's ever mentioned on your show before.
PDGA? No.
Pro Disc Golf Association. Frisbee golf. I started playing frisbee golf back in the early 90s, lost touch with the sport because I moved away from my friends that were playing, played a couple of times here in Arizona. It was over July, happened to hit, I think it was Podcast Alley, and then Random 5 Podcast, and there was PDGA Radio News, and I said, no, that can't be pro disc golf. Clicked over, sure enough it is. Brian Sullivan puts it on. It's a great show. If you're a disc golfer, or you were a disc golfer, listen to it. I have since bought more discs, and I've been out playing every other weekend again. I'm back in the sport because of podcasting. Very cool success story. The Shaunakee by Patrick McLean. Shaunakee means storyteller in Gaelic. He's a member of the Sci-Fi Podcast Network.
Now, I have had 7 different Sci-Fi Podcast Network members
right on
prior to your show. With you, I get Slice of Sci-Fi winging it and Cover to Cover and knocks me up to 10.
Exactly. I give you 3-1. You got to like that. But no, the Shaunakee is a great show. Seriously, out of all the shows in TSFPN, and I love all of them dearly, Patrick is rock solid. He is he's got the best podcast. If you, and it's not just talking at random, his things all have a point, or there's a story that he's delivering to you, but I'm telling you, it is rock solid. The Shaunicky, you've got to listen to it. Well, I got to mention the final one here, Unquiet Desperation, Chris Miller's new podcast. Chris is also the brains, or at least the programming brains, behind, you know, my latest project, PatioBooks.com. But his Unquiet Desperations is he interviews people who follow their passions, you know, with desperation, you know, and they're loud about it. They want to do things that, you know, are less about making them money, less about doing what they're supposed to do, and doing the things that they want with the passion driving going forward. Great show. Very inspirational to listen to some of these folks.
Now, here comes the hard part of the show.
Okay.
Quickly, very quick, short synopsis. Say what each of your shows are and what they are about.
No problem. I've done this long enough to know. We've got The Dragon Page Cover to Cover, which is our book and author-focused science fiction show. We talk to the biggest and the brightest names in science fiction, the Arthur C. Clarke's of the world, the Ray Bradbury's of the world, the Robert Jordan's of the world, all the way down to the brand new guy who just got his first book published last week. That's Cover to Cover. That's also nationally syndicated on XM as well as terrestrial stations as well. We produce, for the person who likes a little less of their science fiction in literature form and more of it on the tube and on the silver screen, Slice of Sci-Fi is our show about TV and movies. We do interview actors. We interview other strange people who have a bent towards the media side of things. So that's a lot of fun. That's a new show. We've only been doing that since, I think, March or April, and we were asked to do that show from the people that were trying to save Enterprise, the latest rendition of Star Trek.
So those are the guys I have to blame for having that show out there, because then you beat me in the podcast awards on the top-rated series.
Yeah, that's
by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, but it's all the Trekker's fault. There's no doubt about that. And then we started doing this little thing called Winging It, which was originally just kind of a variety show was what it was designed to be. You know, there were a lot of people that had interesting bits, and we wanted to combine them together, and we would just kind of talk around them. And then suddenly we started drinking in the middle of doing one of the shows. And I think the show is really more about us drinking for an hour than anything else, but there's a lot of other variety and entertaining bits that go in the middle of that too, and that's The Dragon Page Winging It.
Okay, so alcohol and sci-fi.
Yeah, buddy.
Now, I know on Winging It and sometimes Slice of Sci-Fi, you have some additional guests other than Michael. Summer seems to be a rather regular guest on the show.
Yes.
So who are some of the guests that you have?
Well, we have Summer and Joe, our regular occurs on our show. We had a contest recently to give them a new name, and so they are affectionately now known as the Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas. Not exactly sure why they're known as that, but that was the winning one that came in. They're usually one of them is with us to get things done. Summer's actually our producer that gets all the guests for all of our shows, and Joe originally was our book reviewer and has now become something more than that since he's on the show all the time. Quite frequently, Michael Stackpole, who also lives here in town in Phoenix, will drop by the studio and sit in with us, and anybody else that we can get. If we hear of a sci-fi author coming to town, we do our level best to wrangle them and get them into the studio with us.
Coming up in the future on your shows, anything special, anything new that you're planning?
Well, you know, we're nearing our 200th show for Cover to Cover, which sounds like a big number for a show that comes out once a week, and it's only been podcasting since October, right? But remember that this show has been 4 years in the making before that. So we're trying to figure out what we want to do. We've done the montage thing in the past. I don't know that I want to do that again. So we're talking about some interesting things to do, although nothing really set in stone. For Winging It, we have some new people that are working on some contributions. I really don't want to talk too much about what it is right now, but you know, people are used to hearing Merlapperty's voice on there. TV0013, our stormtrooper with an attitude, is back with all new episodes, and we've got a few new contributors that have been giving us stuff that we're working to see how that's going to work, but they're going to be a whole lot of fun. We certainly hope it's a whole lot of fun. The big coup that I'm working on, and maybe I'll be successful before this thing gets out to do it on, I've been trying to get Will Wheaton back on the show for Slice of Sci-Fi. We've interviewed him twice on Cover to Cover, and but I want to get him on, you know, as a Star Trek geek, because he is one. So
when is Will going to be doing a podcast?
Well, technically, Will says he's been doing a podcast for the last 3 months, but, you know, that's when he decides to call in from the road on his cell phone after, you know, losing yet another poker tournament. So that's what I told him. I said, Will, you know, you really should be doing this. You have 17,000 people that follow your words on type every single day. If half of those are women, all of them want to hear you talk, I guarantee it.
Oh, Murr is like a little schoolgirl when it comes to Will Wheaton.
She's a constant girly squeal. You mentioned his name.
And I told her that if I ever had Will on, that I was going to plug her show and embarrass her by saying, Will, you know, one of my favorite podcasts, Geek Fu Action Grip, the host, Murr Lafferty, is just like totally in love with you. You have to check out her show. And she's like, you can't say that. I go, oh, no, I'm saying it.
Oh, I've threatened even worse things with Will when I get him on the show, so it'll be a good time. But the biggest thing that I've got coming out next is, you know, patiobooks.com is in beta. We've got 3 books up there. By the time this airs, there could be 5 books up there. So if you dig the audiobook thing, you know, Scott's going crazy now. Scott Sigler with Ancestor, his follow-on effort after Earthcore, which was wildly successful. You know, Ancestor, I've already listened to the first chapter, and it's huge. It's going to be just as big as it was. So if you like that, come check out patiobooks.com, where you can actually subscribe from chapter 1. You don't have to start in the middle of anything.
You guys dog Jonathan Livingston Siegel in one of your shows. How dare you? That is a great book.
Oh, stop.
Oh, I just introduced my wife to that about 3 months ago. I bought it for her. She'd never heard the story.
Are you out of roofies or something? I mean, God, that'd knock anybody out. So,
well, I was just talking about Jonathan Livingston Siegel, and she goes, what, huh? And I go, Karen, you've never read that? I go, hold on. And we ran off to the Borders, and we found it, and they actually had it and bought it, and she got to, we read it.
Well, you're a braver man than I. I got through at the first, I don't know, 100 pages or so, and went, what am I, what is dribble? Horrid.
No. Oh, I like that story.
Oh, well. Hey, to each his own. There's a wide world out there.
But then my wife is one that, she came from a very limited background, especially on sci-fi and comedy. So, like, she had never seen any Monty Python movies before I met her. She had never seen Logan's Run. So on her 30th birthday, we went out and rented Logan's Run for her to watch on her 30th birthday. And tell you what, she felt so good after watching it.
You take it to a carousel afterwards, that would have been funny. So,
But I thought you'd appreciate that geeky story.
Oh, yeah. Great story. On her 30th birthday, great. You should have handed her a red crystal.
Well, you know what? She was really down on her 30th birthday, and afterwards, she was like, wow, I get to live. It's not so bad after all.
Look at it that way. I get to live and not with some crazy guy who's got too many cats. So it's good. So, yeah.
On one of your Slice of Sci-Fis, you had Richard Hatch as a guest.
We've had Rich on a couple of times.
That was a great interview. I can't believe you asked him what the color of his underwear was.
Well, the man was doing his laundry in the show. What are you going to do? We like to be a very informal interview show. Not a lot of editing goes on with us unless they start dropping F-bombs like there's no tomorrow. But, no, you know what's funny? We had Richard Hatch on the show before the miniseries for BSG came out, you know, last year. He was on probably 2 or 3 months before it, maybe even longer than that. And it was just ranting. Just on a tirade about how rotten it was and it wasn't true to the original vision, because, you know, he writes books in the original BSG world and very much wants BSG to continue as it was. And so he's ranting and cussing and screaming and, you know, blah, 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 Bonnie Hammer, this, that. Then it comes out and we get him back on the show and he goes, you know, that's actually pretty good.
Well, I think Ronald Moore probably said, okay, well, this guy is, I know how we can solve this problem. We'll just bring him on the show.
Exactly.
We'll make him
the
American.
Show.
We'll make him a bad guy. That'll teach
him. Make him a bad guy that has the potential of becoming a good guy, so he's got good growth potential, and that's what Hatch wants. And so, he's all over the role now. He loves it.
Oh, it's a great character. I mean, Zarek is a great character because, you know, you're talking about someone that's a known terrorist but has some beliefs that are noble and then is surrounded by people that definitely don't have noble thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. No, a counter-revolutionary, unfortunately, with nobody to really carry out his plans. Mm-hmm. So, nobody worthy, at least. So, yeah.
And one less worthy guy.
One less.
On your show, you talk about Dick quite often. Philip K., that is. And I would like you to throw out this to your listeners. I actually approached the official website for Philip K. Dick about them doing a podcast, and they came back to me and said, oh, why don't you do it for us? And I'm like, I don't have the time. So if there's anybody out there, if your listeners, that's a big Philip K. Dick person, tell them to contact me. I'll get them the contact at the official Philip K. Dick site, and they can do a Philip K. Dick podcast, which I would then immediately subscribe to because he is my favorite author of all time.
Oh, yeah. PK Dick has got some great stuff. Well, it's cool you've got the inroads over there. I will put the show chat out this weekend when we're doing the Wingin' It show that they're looking for someone, and I'll see if I can gather you some names. I should be able to do that for you.
Yeah, I would imagine you've got quite a few fans that are as ravenous about Philip K. Dick as I am, and he's been the one sci-fi reader I've read since high school.
We have fans that are huge fans of Dick. There's no doubt about it.
I had a great English teacher, Mr. Sazewell, who was a Mad Max fan and a Philip K. Dick fan. This is a guy in the early 80s. I actually got to see Mad Max before Road Warrior came out because he showed it in school.
Very cool.
Yes. And
that's the kind of teacher I needed.
Anything about your show, shows that you would like to mention?
I just really want to give a little bit of a thanks to the contributors that we have, whether it's people who are emailing us saying, you guys should do this. We get that a lot. We love every single one of those. Or it's the folks like Murr and TD0013 and, you know, even Robert G. Parent with the Sci-Fi Poetry Slam that are contributing the stuff to us every week. You know, we really do appreciate it because if nothing else, it sure makes our jobs a whole lot easier.
Let's not forget to tell listeners where the Dragon Page website is.
Well, let's see, which website should I send you to? DragonPage.com for the Dragon Page shows, SliceOfSciFi.com for our TV and media show, and of course, PatioBooks.com if you want serialized audiobooks coming down to your aggregator every single day, week, whenever you want.
Okay. Now to the technical portion about how you do your show and the podcasting part of it. What hardware are you doing today to do your recording?
Since we started out as a radio show that then transitioned into not just repurposing content as a podcast, but actually making content specific to podcasting, and we got like $10,000 worth of, you know, real high-end stuff that we use. We record with Adobe Audition is our software of choice. We have Shure profile microphones that we're using, also some Audio-Technica 2020 mics. So we're getting good quality sound with them. We have a lot of our music beds sitting on different DATs or other machines to run stuff into it. Everything goes through a compressor, a limiter, gate, you know, all three different hardware components so that we really beef up the sound, and we're nowhere near done, right? I mean, there's always a new piece of equipment that we need to put in place.
What are you guys doing to promote your podcasts outside of the podcasting community?
Oh boy, a lot of things actually. You know, we're pretty heavy into the con scene, you know, conventions. Mm-hmm. We go to quite a few of them and try and spread out, you know, leaflets or pamphlets or whatever else we possibly can. For us, it's really been a lot of the word of mouth advertising that's done it for us. You know, we get involved with a fan based community and it kind of spreads. And we then have somebody goes over here and infects another one. It's like multi level marketing. Mm-hmm. When they find out about it, they go out and tell all their friends of how it does. We have done other things as well. Back in the day, we actually had put, because Mike is a fantasy author as well, and I guess, now pretty soon I'm a published author too, huh? Didn't think about that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We have done other radio interviews in the past. We've put a thing called RTIR, I think is what it's called, where this is a publication that different radio stations get, and they've got guests that are stuck inside of it. You know, and we were interviewed by one place because Harry Potter was coming out, and they talked to us for like 2 hours about the whole why Harry Potter is so popular. And of course, we got to plug our show the whole time. And same thing happened when Episode 2 Star Wars came out. We did another interview that way. So you know, there are some opportunities out there as well. You know, I think the big thing people need to think about is exactly what your question was. The question, how are you going to get yourself known outside of the podcast community? How can you help and make this thing grow beyond something that it was before? If you just try to appeal to people who are already listening to podcasts, that's great. But as I just said, I got 60 different podcasts inside of my aggregator. Who am I going to kick off to listen to yours? You got to go find somebody new and bring them in. Right. So start talking to people. You know, interviews, talk to your local newspapers, do anything you can, and keep mentioning podcasting as this new thing, and people will start to listen.
What are you doing to generate revenue for your show, or are you?
Yes, actually, we are. If you've listened to our show, so you know that occasionally you'll hear not only promotions for other podcasts and goofy commercials of ours, but also real live paying commercials that get dropped in there.
You mean like pizza in a keg?
Yeah, like pizza. gag. Pizza in a Can story is funny how that came out. But anyhow, that's for another show. But no, we do. We actually have had in the past, and we don't really spend a lot of time actively seeking out advertisers because for us, it's really an opportunity to showcase ourselves more than it is as a revenue generating thing, you know. But we have had people in the past who have approached us, and a few that we have approached and worked at an advertising deal, you know, 5-10 shows for, you know, a small fee, you know, here and there. But we actually have done that.
Is there anything else that you're trying to do to generate revenue?
We've got a couple of things in the works. You know, we have an interesting tie-in with all the publishers, and the publishers of science fiction and fantasy novels primarily. And they've all got compelling and interesting stories to tell with why they're different, whether it's a niche publisher, you know, like a Misha Merlin, or whether it's a really large publisher like a Tor Books. You know, they've got a captive audience, people who are really loyal to their product, and there's some opportunities there for them to use podcasting in new and interesting ways. You know, up to this point, I dig podcasting. It's cool. You know, it's me, it's me and Michael on a microphone talking and having a good time. You know, it's you interviewing other podcasters. But what I think was really going to happen is when people start kind of breaking things open and looking at new opportunities that the concept of podcasting, this whole idea of delivering out content periodically, time shifted, you know, what does that mean? How can people do things? How can they use that underlying technology? Well, nothing new. How can they use these mixtures of tech to create something different and find a different avenue that'll break it open to different people and also bring in some additional money? So that's what we're doing. We're trying to find new ways to apply the podcasting technology and, you know, be consultants as those things happen.
What advice would you like to offer out to those that are, you guys have been doing it so long, I'm not going to say starting, but what would you like to offer to those that are already doing a podcast to help improve their show?
If you're already podcasting, but you're still relatively new at it, I would say a lot of people take your advice. You know, don't start telling people about your show on your first or your second or even your fourth one. You know, take some time. Make sure that you actually have got it right before you go out there. But if you've already been podcasting for a while, and a lot of people have now, you know, they jumped on early and they're trying to find something new to do with it, there is nothing wrong with reinventing yourself. Try new things. Experiment. Find avenues that you find interesting. Now, maybe your show is general topic and you want to narrow down to a niche. Fine. Narrow down to that niche. Maybe you're very niche and then there's something on the side to that that kind of makes sense you want to follow. Go ahead and do it. If you have to break off a new show, much as we have done with the other two shows that we have, go ahead and do it. Yeah, it takes up more time, but it allows you to explore and do more options. You know, podcasting, like everything else in life, should be about growing. You're never going to get the show perfect. It's not going to happen. Tomorrow will be something new that goes into it. Because if you work for that perfection, and now I've got things dialed into exactly the way I want them, it's going to grow stale before too terribly long. So if you're already there, change. Do something different tomorrow. Throw something at your co-host he or she is not expecting. Break out a new segment. Please, reinvent yourself. You've got to keep it moving because it's always has to be new for the next person that comes along. And if it's not new for you each time, you're just bored. Nobody wants to hear that.
Okay. Well, thank you for the great advice. That is new advice, too. Anything we didn't cover at all?
We have covered an entire gambit of things to check out. The only thing is there's a misconception that all the people that are on the Sci-Fi Podcast Network are a bunch of sci-fi geeks, and of course, to an extent, we are. But I got news for you. Rob here, he's a sci-fi geek too. Every single person that's listening to our shows has a little bit of sci-fi geek in them, but a lot less. I mean, there are some shows. You know, Derek and Swoopy from Skepticality, they're in the Sci-Fi Podcast Network because they like sci-fi. There's something in there for everyone. There's a reason why these shows are, if the last time I looked, 17 out of the top 20 films of all times are science fiction or fantasy or some sort of altered reality based, right? So there's stuff there. Go check out TSFPN because there is some really good content. I promise you, you'll find something you're looking for.
Like I said, this is now my 8th interview with someone from the TSFPN network. Evo, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Rob, it has been a pleasure, and I look forward to hearing more kicking guests from you in the future.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Evo from the Dragon Page podcast. You can check out those podcasts at dragonpage.com. And Evo, talking about kicking guests in the future, our next guest will be Rob Greenlee from the Web Talk Radio podcast. So please come back Monday, October 3rd for that podcast. At the end of today's podcast, we're going to play a promo from the Spaceship Radio podcast, so please stick around for that. And actually, that's going to do it for us. I'm your host, Rob, from Podcast 411, as always, reminding you to listen different.
From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years, on a thousand maybe worlds.
This is a Spaceship Radio podcast.
Are you in the bag?
No, but every week we'll bring you the best in science fiction radio from the 1950s.
Now here they come, ladies and gentlemen. The Martians.
And they will, every week, right into your iPod. Just visit www.spaceshipradio.com for all the details.
Prepare for maximum acceleration.
That's spaceshipradio.com, where we rocket you into the past.
Holy mackerel.